From KRCB in Santa Rosa, it's Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour with Michelle Anna Jordan.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a solar sensing climate control system. Learn more at Acura.com.
You better come on in my kitchen. There's a to be ready to do.
Come over here, kid. Why, son? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. By country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
Want some more?
Delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Jordan. Glad to be back after, two or three weeks off. Every now and then you need a little bit of time, but here I am and it's going to be a great show. Someone I have wanted to have on for a long time. And before I introduce our guest, just want you to get in the mood and think about fire and what it means to you. Nothing, I don't think, really has the power to enchant and mesmerize and transform us and our food as fire does. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have, and I think it's really easy to say, I will never have a microwave. I've never had a microwave. I like to see the source of what is cooking my food. And I swear you can tell the difference. I think you can tell whether something's been cooked on gas, on an electric burner, in a microwave, or in that incredibly wonderful, hot, almost crisp, that may not be the right word, heat of wood fire. So that is what we are going to be exploring tonight. Wood-burning ovens in all their magical glory, and how to go about having one if you want one. I have with me, and I hope I get your last name right, I have Andrea Muniaini.
Perfect pronunciation.
Very good. I've seen your ovens. In fact, I've seen ovens that I've admired for their beauty, and I haven't even known those particular ovens were yours. So they're out there, and you're based in Watsonville, but you have a new presence in the wine country for several reasons. So welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you very much.
Let's do an overview of what your business, start off with an overview of what your business is. You build ovens for people, is that right?
Actually, we import. Muniaini imports the center pieces of the oven, the components themselves, from Italy. And I have exclusive rights for this product for all of North America. So we import into our headquarters in Watsonville, create and ship throughout the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And then we also have now a production facility where we pre-assemble these onto still frame bases. So we send them out to the American market completed.
Mm-hmm. Now, for somebody who's never seen one before, what is it? Can we describe visually what it is that's being imported? It's shaped like a dome, right?
The top portion is, yes. Uh-huh. But the oven consists of a dense, durable fire brick floor. So this is modular, these masonry components. So the floor can vary depending on the size of the oven, mm-hmm. maybe from 4 pieces up to 15 pieces, but it's a dense, durable fire brick puzzle, if you will, on the floor.
Like a big, heavy jigsaw puzzle.
Very heavy, uh-huh. yes. Very heavy. And then the wall structure or ceiling structure, which is in the shape of that dome, mm-hmm. Is also modular. It's a series of prefabricated components that fit together around and over that floor. Mm-hmm. And then there is a flue. The chimney in a wood-fired oven exits that bake chamber or cook chamber from the front. So just inside the mouth of the oven, there's a starter piece or a flue. Mm-hmm. So I import those components, the Italian manufacturer that I represent, the original, the first to design and actually mm-hmm. patent these pieces, still does an absolutely superior job. So we bring those into the country and then combine them with the insulation material, the chimney pipe, the rest of the items that you need to actually build it on site or use it to cook in, and we send those out as full ovens. Mm-hmm.
The material, the baking floor and then the dome, what is the material that, you know, it sort of looks like really dense brick, but I think it's more complicated than that.
Well, it is, you could say dense brick. The floor of the oven is really the most important part to cooking in these mm-hmm. ovens, really the foundation of the oven, and it's a dense, durable fire brick. Machine-pressed, high-fired. The reason that we have this great density on the bottom of the oven is heat rises, as we know. So we're trying to pull the heat downward into the dense, durable fire brick floor. So the bulk of the thermal mass in these is on that base. And then the overhead crown elements are a lighter density refractory clay or terracotta that radiates over the cooking floor. Mm-hmm. So once these are fully heated, that fire brick floor is maybe 650, 700 for pizza. The overhead dome is over 1,000 degrees, and that radiates down over that cooking floor. And then that front positioned flue, or where your chimney, if you call it, pulls the air goes in through the arch, circulates uninterrupted over the cooking floor, and then rolls forward and exits at the front. So you have the heat from the floor, the food's mm-hmm. in contact with that conductive heat. You have the radiant heat from that dome, and then you have this wonderful convection airflow pattern inside that's carrying with it that heat that is moist with wood.
I think about maybe 15 years ago or so, people started seeing brick bread ovens.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Scott, who was on Mouthful a long time ago, and I think Acme Bakery, mm-hmm. Locally Lou Preston, Della Fetteria, saw a lot about the big bread ovens. Your ovens are different, and I think you do a really good job explaining the difference between these two concepts.
Well, we often hear the ovens in general called pizza ovens. Mm-hmm. And while they're used for pizzas, they certainly can be used for a full complement of cooking styles. Mm-hmm. But what makes this different than what, say, a wood-fired bread oven, mm-hmm. meaning that the oven was heated and fired with wood, but they're baking with primarily the retained heat in
right,
the clay.
They take out.
They take the coals, yeah. they take mm-hmm. the ashes out, and they're baking with the retained heat. And those large ovens with all that mass on the sides and the top and the base are excellent for baking bread mm-hmm. solely. The difference with that and the Mugnaini oven is that we have a balance of thermal mass in there, with the base, of course, that fire brick floor having the majority of it, the lighter weight overhead dome, and then the convection airflow. So we are cooking with live coals, live fire, circulating air. We can also lower the temperature then to a roasting oven environment where we add less wood, drop the deck temperature 100 degrees, but we still have live coals, live fire, and a circulating air. We can further drop the temperature and use just the retained heat in a bake oven, but it provides for more versatility than mm-hmm. just baking bread or just using the ovens for bread.
Mm-hmm. And the heat is regulated by how big the fire is, how many pieces of wood you keep adding or coals that you take out? Is that sort of the concept
roughly,
of how?
Yes. Yeah, roughly, yes. We heat the oven, and all of the ovens used for home use can be brought up to maximum temperature within an hour, which is very important for home use, that you're not waiting for 5 or 6 hours to bring a huge bread oven up to
preheat
temperature.
Preheat the oven at 11 in the morning.
Correct. Who would do that? It's just not practical.
Right.
And it would take the spontaneity out of it. Mm-hmm. So we bring it up to a deep heat, which takes an hour, brings it the oven up to that pizza oven environment that has the large coal bed, a big flame, and that high heat. And then we maintain that by adding an appropriate amount of wood, or we add less wood and let the temperature drop. But it's important to heat all that mass once and heat it deeply so that we can pull from it for hours and hours of cooking.
Mm-hmm. How did you get involved in doing this?
You know, I used to import Italian wines, actually. The originally Mugnaini Wines. That was the first company. And in the course of doing that work, I went to Italy twice a year in the course of importing wines. You can't be in the wine business without being in the food business as well.
Sure.
But I was really, truly more drawn to the food part of that business and fell in love with the style of cooking that I would see there using the wood-fired ovens and dreamed about having that here in California when I'd return home. So it gave me an opportunity to experience it firsthand, and I really wanted to do that. So I purchased an oven locally. I actually went to, on one of my trips to Italy, tried to bring one oven back, and they told me, there weren't very many back then, and told me just buy one locally, it will be less expensive than bringing one oven over from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought one that
was...
So
you found one here in...
In California.
Uh-huh. And where
from, it was from Los Angeles. Uh-huh. It was used for restaurants, and I put it in my home. My husband and I were building a new home, and I had the opportunity to put it in our yard. And it lasted for about a year. It just didn't have the didn't have the same cooking results that I did on the ovens in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what started the quest, and I went back and learned more about the differences in oven anatomy and how they work, and it led to the Valeriani family in Florence, the originators of the prefabricator, the modular oven, and began a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And when was this?
In the late 80s.
And so...
It was in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, late 80s. And actually, the manufacturer was not even interested in doing business at that time.
Really?
They were discontinuing, kind of downsizing and limiting the production of wood fire, thinking that it was really a way of the past. And they were not interested at all. And they also didn't believe that Americans would cook this way. So we arm wrestled a bit for 10 ovens, and he did manufacture 10 ovens for me, and I had to pay cash up front and came back to the United States and did the regulation, the test, did a fire safety, UL approval and sanitation and emissions tests, and went back and negotiated a one-year agreement with him, and the rest is just a wonderful story because it... created a rebirth of this style of cooking.
Yeah.
And they work now, the production facility over there runs 12 months out of the year, full time.
They must have been just astonished at what you did.
Well, they're pleasantly surprised now, and they're very appreciative. When I take my clients there as part of the cooking class week that we do in Tuscany, we take a tour of the factory, and they raise the American flag and turn off all the machines and give us a lovely tour because they really credit the American market, their responsiveness to Mugnaini with the rebirth of this style of cooking.
Now, did they see interest in that style of cooking return in Italy as well?
Yes, yes. Not only in Italy, but worldwide. They export now to Australia and throughout Europe.
I love that, down with the microwave, up with wood. It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. We are talking about wood-burning ovens, casually known as pizza ovens, the kind you can have at home if you have a little bit of room, inside or outside, right?
They can go inside or outside. They do. The same ovens can be installed in either location.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I've always wondered, what's the permit? What do you have to do with
the
permits and all that? Is that pretty easy?
It's very easy because they are a listed appliance.
Oh, okay.
And I think for outdoor use, it falls under a code similar to what you would need for a outdoor, say, a masonry-built barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And indoor, it's a standard appliance.
Oh, okay.
We have a clearance to combustibles and a venting protocol to follow.
Uh-huh. So I always wondered if that was going to be a big hurdle because, you know, putting in wood stoves is trickier than it used to be, and certain places don't want wood stoves. And I like wood so much, I heat with wood. So
I do.
I heat with wood. Sometimes I cut my own firewood, though not all the time, I'll confess.
Now, do you stack your own firewood piles, Michelle?
Yes, I stack.
I do.
Definitely.
Now, I do that.
Yes, I stack my own firewood.
I think they're actually beautiful.
I love. Oh, and, you know, looking outside as fall approaches, I can't do this yet. I hope I can sometime soon. But if I look outside and I see a lot of firewood beautifully stacked, ready mm-hmm. for winter, it gives me a very secure feeling. It's like, winter, and it's going to be okay.
And you're going to have heat.
Yes. Yes, and it's a different form of heat. It feels different. And maybe we can talk...
I agree.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about that with the oven. Because say you have an electric oven heated to 400 degrees. You have a gas oven heated the same way. Or a wood oven. And the food, you can cook the same exact dish in all three environments, and you're going to get different results.
You will. And actually, when we developed, we have a very limited production gas oven, and when we were developing that, I would use the same control product in the oven, side by side, wood-fired and gas oven. Gas and electric are very dry heats. When you're cooking in a wood-burning oven, you have not only a wider range of temperature, so food is in there less, it tends to dry out less, but you have an enormous amount of moisture. Even seasoned wood mm-hmm. has moisture in it, and it imparts a wonderful swirl, if you will, with that convection airflow,
mm-hmm.
not only the aromatics, it's not smoky, but you have this sweet sweetness almost from the wood.
And that varies depending on the variety, right?
Yeah, it does. But for the most part, I think the biggest difference is that you have moisture in that chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's wild game, fish, you know, standard meats, poultry, vegetables, you'll appreciate the amount of moisture brought into that bake chamber,
mm-hmm.
as well as, of course, the crusts on breads are just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And the crusts on the bread... Does that have to do with a combination of the high heat and the moisture, so the two things functioning together?
Yes, yes. And with pizza, with the flatbreads, the fact that the raw dough can actually, which is very moist, mm-hmm. can actually breathe and steam off in that fire brick. So it will sear on the bottom. You know, the wonderful, delicious little char on a
You're making me hungry.
90-second baked pizza.
Exactly. 90 seconds is what it should take to bake a pizza.
But exactly. But what that also allows is the air then can move so quickly upwards through the pizza, so it keeps all the moisture on the top. So not only do you have a tender product, a more moist, tender product, but you have a different aroma because you've been baking in a wood-fired oven.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like it if you've, you know, American pizza for the most part, not exclusively anymore, but in general, 15 minutes in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you have a pizza that's cooked in 90 seconds, it's another creature entirely. And I think once you've had it, you never want to go back to the other way.
Well, I certainly couldn't.
No,
and I always say when I'm teaching that American pizza and Italian pizza are two different foods. They
absolutely
both have their own place at the
sure
table, but they're two completely
two different
foods.
Yeah.
And what I've found is that a lot of my clients who aren't real familiar with wood-fired pizza, Neapolitan style, you know, 90-second to 3 minutes maximum bake, are sometimes confused with the American product. They think maybe that's what's going to be heated or baked and come out of the wood-fired oven.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, in fact, a completely different mm-hmm food with its tenderness. The moisture's not all baked out of the dough. The toppings have been browned and are held up on the dough. It doesn't sink into the crust.
Mm-hmm.
Nice char on that, you know, rim around the pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real different thing. I really love it. I like going, I don't get down there very often, but A16,
mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm
restaurant on Chestnut Street in San Francisco, they do a really great job of traditional pizzas. Who are the people, who are your customers? Who are the people that are putting in wood-burning ovens these days?
Well, I think in the home market, beyond being food and wine fans, they are people that are hands-on, that really mm-hmm like to do their own prep, their own cooking. They like to entertain. They gather at home, family and friends. A lot of people who are very appreciative of good food, there's a portion that still would go out more so than stay in and mm-hmm entertain and do their own cooking. My clients nationwide, when we get together for a week, they're very much hands-on in the kitchen, put the apron on, and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They want to experience. They want to learn how to manage that oven. They want to prep. They like the entire process
mm-hmm
of bringing something to the table rather than just hiring it to be brought to the table or going out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what was I going to say? Oh, you've mentioned several times when you get together for a week.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Well, I have a educational program for my clients,
mm-hmm,
and we offer classes at our headquarters in Watsonville. We have complimentary basic training classes where they come in and learn the fundamentals of managing their oven for mm-hmm a full complement of cooking styles. And then I have week-long cooking classes in Tuscany. I organize those for 3 weeks in the spring and 3 weeks in the fall. It's in the same town, just southeast of Florence, where the manufacturer is. That's why, as I said, mm-hmm as part of the week, we go on a tour. Those are hands-on from a Sunday to Saturday. And then I have the new program in Healdsburg, which are 2 days, 2.5 days, similar to what we do in Tuscany. They're all hands-on,
mm-hmm,
but shorter period of time and something that I can offer 12 months out of the year.
Are you going to be doing that monthly?
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes
great.
We have bread baking clinics uh-huh coming on.
Yeah, and you're having Craig Ponsford.
Yes, from
Artisan
Bakers. Yes,
yeah,
we've taught before. And
uh-huh. Yeah, Craig's great. Another previous Mouthful guest. Who, right now, if I understand correctly, your classes are for people who have installed your ovens. Is that right?
They are for Munya Ini oven owners,
uh-huh,
yes. I used to have my classes open to the public,
uh-huh,
but they fill up quickly. They're very popular. And I was experiencing participants who had other ovens that didn't function the same.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes it broke my heart to see somebody with an oven that the top part was made of metal or the bottom was mm cement or it didn't have a flue. And I knew they'd never get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
So we have limited it over the years to just Munya Ini oven owners because I know the functionality of the oven and can guide them through and know that what they learn will actually apply when they get home.
They'll be able to use it.
Yes.
Interesting. It's an interesting way to go.
Burning.
Yeah, you don't want to burn it when you're cooking in your wood-burning oven. But Andrea Mugnaini will teach you how to manage the fire and do everything right with your oven. I want to sort of go through the cooking. You used a really good word. What was it? Anyway, just the different stages of things that you do mm-hmm. at the different temperatures. Mm-hmm. Because I know you can go pizzas, you can cook a holiday turkey.
Mm-hmm. All of which you
bake
do,
pastas,
yes.
But mm-hmm. you do them in different, there's different protocols at different temperatures.
I do. And I identify those rather than strictly by temperature, by environment. And I notice when I'm teaching, it's such a visual way of cooking, mm-hmm. it's a visual way of learning that clients can actually look into the oven and see what the environment needs to look like for a certain type of cooking. Mm-hmm. That way, they're, one, not dependent on a thermometer, mm-hmm. and, you know, they can go home and duplicate exactly what they see.
And do and it visually. Even do, that's so
correct.
Great. I'm a real visual learner.
And we even do this by video on our website. We have an owner's website where they can log on and look at the videos for all these different types of cooking. Uh-huh. And also, rather than just call it a recipe, mm-hmm. of various recipes, we do break it down into the cooking styles, mm-hmm. because that's very unique with this appliance, that you can bake, you can roast, you can braise, saute, even grill. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, we start the oven and bring it up to its highest temperature, which pizzas is going. You're going to use the oven at its highest for pizzas. Probably nothing higher than that.
And what is that about?
About 650 on the floor. Mm-hmm. But what characterizes that visually is that there's a large bed of coals off to the side, left to right, and a big flame that's literally sweeping halfway over that dome.
Okay, so sweeping sort of
beautifully halfway over that dome. Uh-huh. The bake chamber is beautifully illuminated. You might see, you know, some of the air. Well, a little bit of some smoke. Sometimes you put a log on that has bark, and it'll produce a little bit of soap. You'll see that swirl at the mm-hmm. top. But we maintain that environment by adding the appropriate amount of wood to keep that flame going and keep that heat on that deck, which is easy to do with the thick, durable fire brick. Mm-hmm. So when I'm at an event, say cooking all day long, 8 hours, 6 hours, for thousands of people, I never lose temperature. Mm-hmm. I get it up to the maximum temperature, and then I maintain it by adding the appropriate amount of wood. Mm-hmm. Then for roasting, whether it's a holiday turkey or pork loin, fish, vegetables, I just add less wood and let that flame drop to a vertical flame. So rather sweeping halfway over that dome, I have a vertical flame, maybe 4 or 5 inches. Mm-hmm. Still have a bed of coals, but with the reduction in the flame, the deck temperature actually drops 100 degrees, so 550. Mm-hmm. So visually, the roasting oven is characterized by that still has a bed of coals, a vertical flame. So even without instrumentation, my clients can be successful with roasting a chicken or vegetables, mm-hmm. fish, whatever, is on their menu. And then the bake oven, if I'm baking lasagnas or apple crisps or fruit tarts, a lot of dessert items, I'll let the flame drop even further and diminish into that bed of coals, and I'm baking with the retained heat in that oven.
Okay, interesting. So one of the things that you're doing, it seems to me, in addition to teaching people how to use this oven and make good food in it, you're teaching them how to cook intuitively.
Intuitively,
because
yes.
they're cooking with they're judging their environment. They're making their judgment calls based on visuals,
yes,
rather than looking at a recipe or measuring something. And I mean that's how people cooked forever until really the last number of decades.
It's a very sensuous way of cooking. Mm-hmm. They're feeling, they're smelling, they're looking, using their senses to make the judgments rather than a digital readout mm-hmm. in the on the side of an oven wall.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find what sort of learning curve do you see in some of your customers? Are there things that they need to unlearn? And able to learn in this way that you're teaching them?
The curve is surprisingly quick. It's still a pleasure for me when people wait to use their oven. They come into a class and they say, "Is that all? It's very, very quick. I think it's in us, I think, by nature, to be able to do this, but not all of us are aware of that, and we've become disconnected, I think, as a culture from it. You know, we'll close the door, walk away, and a timer tells us when our food is ready.
Mm-hmm.
This is forcing us to be more human in our cooking, and I find people have responded to it, even when couples will travel together and one says, oh, I'm the cook, and she doesn't cook, or he doesn't cook,
mm-hmm.
And after a couple of days, that person's always, you know, just right up at the oven and working.
I love that. It forces us to be more human.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a wonderful way, and I couldn't have said it better. In fact, I think that says things I've been searching to say. That hands-on with fire, but hands-on with food, but instinctively,
mm-hmm.
you know, not because you're reading something. It's sort of cutting my own throat. So it's I often write recipes and cookbooks as part of, you know, earning a living.
But. Well, and not to say that, I mean, and I do also
mm-hmm.
write recipes and provide that to my for my clients, or edit recipes and convert them for
mm-hmm.
clients. But the recipe is a guide. They're going
to... It's a signpost.
Yes.
Exactly.
They're going to use their senses to produce that.
Mm-hmm. That's really great.
I should say, that, Michelle, the other style of cooking that can be done in these ovens also is grilling.
Grilling. Oh, that's right. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes. The other style besides the environments that I describe, once you bake pizza, say, for an appetizer, we bring the coals, just drag them forward under that air source, and we have...
So actually direct grilling.
Correct.
Oh,
because you're using solid fuel, you end up with this wonderful bed of coals. So we have Tuscan grills that we manufacture. They're two parts, stainless steel. It sits right over the bed of coals,
mm-hmm.
so anything our clients do already on an open-air barbecue, they can grill steaks
mm-hmm.
or fish, vegetables, bread for bruschetta, all
mm-hmm.
of that over good wood coals right in the mouth of the oven.
Oh, perfect. And one thing that I think people in general are most afraid of dealing with in cooking are whole fish. And I know that that's something that works really well in the wood environment. Could you talk a little bit about that?
We roast whole fish, yes, regularly.
Yeah, you've mentioned
I think, again, because we have a nice amount of moisture in mm-hmm. the oven because of the seasoned wood, it's more predictable. People are less surprised, I think, by being overdone or underdone.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more predictable, and I think not only whole fish, but all the foods.
Mm-hmm.
I have clients have expressed just that. They're afraid to cook whole fish.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid to cook a roast with bones in it. They're, you know, afraid to roast a turkey. But what we do in the oven is place the whole fish in according to the recipe, but I'll often just tent it with foil so it doesn't char on the outside before it cooks all the way through on the inside. Literally make an A-frame
mm-hmm.
over the fish so it gets the nice hot air circulating underneath it, but it doesn't char on
to
the outside.
Reflects some of that.
The radiant heat from the dome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we get the advantage of it being in a high temperature,
mm-hmm.
high heat, lot of nice moisture, but it doesn't char on the outside before cooking through all the way on the inside.
Mm-hmm. How far away do you sell your ovens? I mean, are they in the United States, or does your territory include Mexico and Canada?
It includes Mexico and Canada, and we distribute throughout all states.
Mm-hmm.
We've shipped to Alaska.
You have? I was going
to
ask you.
Hawaii.
Got any in Alaska and Hawaii?
Yes, yes, yes. The Northeast
uh-huh.
is a large market.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is a big market.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a lot of building there in the last decade.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find that, you know, one is more popular than the other, indoor versus outdoor, or is that sort of...
It started out that the majority of them went outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it was solid fuel, it was wood, people
mm-hmm.
identified that with outdoor cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Today, though, we have kitchen designers and architects that specify them regularly indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And with our Muñaini, you know, the steel frame assemblies that we do, we're able to get them into kitchens on a smaller footprint.
The steel frame, I'm not sure I quite understand the steel frame assembly. That means you do all the assembly and it reaches the person in a... in a discrete frame that then gets installed in a position in the kitchen?
Yes. Okay. What it means is we take the exact same oven that they would take and build a masonry base for in their backyard or kitchen. We have a production facility where we take that same oven and put it on a lightweight steel frame assembly. So it replaces the masonry. So they're lighter weight. They're fully assembled.
Oh, okay.
They're ready to hook up the chimney and do the decorative finish work.
Uh-huh.
And that way we can get them into kitchens where it's on a second story or a remodel where there's a large basement below without them having to build masonry all the way up from grade.
Because that would be really, really heavy.
Correct. And very expensive and very large as well.
And then
we also have our new alfresco series for outdoor, where we're doing the same thing.
Are you doing the same sort of frame for?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Which I should have brought one here in the studio to cook in tonight.
Oh, that would be fun. You'll have to come
they're
back.
They're portable, and they're in different shapes.
Really, they're portable? Okay.
We've taken the technology from our restaurant assemblies and brought that over into the home market so we can make them on a smaller footprint, lighter weight, and half the cost now.
Uh-huh. And when you say they're portable, does anyone use them in that way? Do they take them from place to place?
I do have clients that use it portably and take it place to place. I do the same thing. I'll take portable ovens out to a winery or to someone's backyard for an event. I have caterers that use them now and will move them out back and forth to different events.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of wineries, you've had an association, a fairly long association with Lambert Bridge.
Yes.
And that's a really good place. If you're in Sonoma County, that's a great place, you know, to stop by and see your ovens. Why don't you talk a little bit about what's there and what you do there, too?
Okay. And it started several years ago. The one of the owners of Lambert Bridge, their managing partner, Greg Wilcox, was a client of mine. When he moved out from the East Coast, he purchased an oven to go into his backyard here in Healdsburg. And at that time, he wasn't a part of Lambert Bridge. Once he became a part of the winery, he decided to really bring the food part of that business together with their wines. So we put two Mugnaini ovens out under this beautiful existing pergola in the garden at Lambert Bridge, and I've been doing cooking classes out there and cooking for events. Passport, their big harvest festival.
Yeah, they have that wonderful and you make that traditional flatbread with grapes.
The Schiacciata Conuva,
yes.
For harvest festival there.
Yeah, if you were to describe that, that would be great.
It's a delicious, very large, just slightly sweet with lemon flatbread. And the tradition is to take the grapes from that year's harvest, and it goes on top of the bread. We bake it in the wood-fired oven. So they're ripe. These grapes have sugar oozing out of them, and they're put in this hot oven, and it caramelizes the sugar. There's a little fennel on it. And then we slice it and toast to the harvest of that year with a little bit of the pressed juice.
Mm-hmm. The pressed juice, even before fermentation.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
As a way of making the transition from the field to the winery, we say goodbye to the whole fruit and to the simple juice before it goes to the winemaker.
Yeah, it's one of the really nice ways to welcome fall, I think, is the harvest celebration there at Lambert Bridge and everyone toasting with that little glass. I think that's really great. You're listening to Mouthful on KRCP.
Daddy beating with her.
In case you really need to know who did that version, it was Canyon, Play With Fire. That's probably my favorite version of that song, and it's available at iTunes. That's where I found it. We are talking with Andrea Mugnaini. Mugnaini imports these wonderful prefabricated pizza, but really all-purpose indoor or outdoor ovens, both for the home and commercially. And you just told me, Andrea, where your first restaurant oven was. You got to talk about that.
At Chez Panisse,
upstairs.
Yes, Alice Waters.
Yeah.
Their general manager called me years ago and said where they had a large baking oven in mm-hmm. there, and he said, we are using so much wood, we're ready to start burning our furniture. So Alice Waters refers to us as the efficient Italian insert, but we went in over a Labor Day weekend and excavated the old brick out of that oven and retrofitted our Model 120 in there and sealed it up and started the fire and had that. They only lost, I think, 2 days of cooking in the cafe or in the restaurant.
Yeah,
yes.
And that oven, you know, it rocks.
They use it to its maximum.
They really do.
Yeah.
And so you also have them, just to name a few of the places, Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park.
Yes, their Colavita Center.
Two ovens in Copia over in
Napa. Yes, two. One outside, one inside. Mm.
And then a very sweet little place, a real favorite, La Salette.
Yes.
Over on the square in Sonoma. Francis Ford Coppola, Rubicon Estates, and his resort in Belize.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps coming soon, then at Rosso e Bianco up in Geyserville, we could hope. And, you know, they're working on completely revamping the former Chateau Souverain.
Mm-hmm. That's what I understand.
It's his vision for it is really ambitious and wonderful. It's just absolutely wonderful. I can't imagine that he wouldn't fit in a wood-burning oven. Did we say Bistro Gentil?
Yes.
Okay, Bistro mm-hmm. Gentil, favorite place of mine. That's probably my favorite restaurant in all of Napa. I really like Bistro Gentil. So those are some of the commercial ones. Are more and more restaurants getting a hold of you? It seems more and more restaurants seem to feel that a wood-burning oven is essential.
I think that it is no longer considered the Italian pizzeria appliance. Yes, we have restaurants in all ethnic cuisines now mm-hmm. using wood-fired ovens.
Mm-hmm. And what about the idea of ecology, you know, not burning down all our trees, you know, wood smoke, all that sort of thing that, you know, in ecological circles, that's an issue. So how do we address that from the point of view of these ovens?
Well, I have done stack and room emissions on these ovens. Mm-hmm. I did years ago voluntarily. I had an environmental laboratory test them. They burn very hot because they retain heat for a period of time. Example, a restaurant finishes using the oven, they put the door on it at night. They come back the next day, it's still 450 degrees mm-hmm. inside. So it uses less fuel. So we found the particulate emissions were very, very low. Mm-hmm. It is a complete combustion in that chamber. Mm-hmm. If you look at a chimney of a oven that's fired, you'll just see a little shimmer of heat. But once they're designed, I mean, they're designed to retain the heat for cooking purposes. Mm-hmm. So once they're heated, they stay hot. You add very little fuel compared mm-hmm. to an open fireplace or a wood stove.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that complete combustion, that means you're not sending so much stuff.
Particulate
right.
into the, correct.
And I think that's really the biggest part of the controversy. Well, you know, if you had a child with asthma, you wouldn't want people to use wood-burning ovens. That's one of the things you hear. So this actually doesn't contribute to that.
Very different compared, mm-hmm. but I mean, they're comparing it to a fireplace
exactly.
or an open barbecue pit, something
uh-huh.
like that. It's,
yeah. yeah, and so this is very different.
It burns differently, yes.
And what is the best sort of wood to use? Is there one that's better than the other for these ovens?
Whatever hardwood is native to your area.
Okay.
In the Midwest, I have people burning cherry and maple. And, you know, in the islands, there's another kind of wood. So whatever hardwood you have access to.
Mm-hmm. And the classes that you're doing at Watsonville, at your estate, you have a little estate with the sweetest little name in Healdsburg. What's it called?
Vigneto di Mugnaini.
Yes.
Just a small vineyard, uh-huh. Mugnaini vineyard.
And so you have your estate teach cooking school there.
Mm-hmm.
And those are for clients. But then you teach classes through Relish, Culinary School, and Lambert Bridge. And that's for anyone who's interested, right?
Correct. And all to promote the style of cooking and to help educate people as to what the oven is and how to use it in its most versatile
Now let's say you don't have room to put in a wood-burning oven, either indoors or out. You don't have the money to do it. Is there any way you can mess around with the environment of your gas stove to move it a little closer to the sort of cooking environment you get with wood? Is there anything possible?
There just isn't.
Okay.
No. It's going to be a different style of cooking, a longer bake, less moisture. It's going to be different.
Yeah. Because I've heard things like, well, you get one of those really thick pizza stones, or you get fire brick, and you line the rack, and then every 10 minutes you throw in a cup of water.
And there are so many gadgets on the market and catalogs and on the internet now that say get that old world, you know, brick oven style without building an oven. But there isn't anything that compares.
And that's good to know.
The radiant heat from, you know, the clay overhead and the moisture from the wood.
So if you can't do it, you can't do it. That means you just have to find a friend who will invite you over and let you cook in their oven. And actually, the very first time I cooked in a wood oven, it was very different. It wasn't dome-shaped, and I think it was just one that somebody figured out how to make on their own. But I'd never cooked in one, and I'm just cooking with friends. I'll give it a try. And I made a calzone with, it had winter squash, really good peppers. I think they were pasilla peppers, and some sort of cheese. And it turned out so good. The person whose house I was at was a vegetarian, so just coming up with some vegetarian dishes. And I was, from the minute that came out of the oven, and sort of the snap of the bread, the texture of everything, it was just like, oh, I want one. I want to cook this way. I just really love it.
And now, was it a faster bake than?
Oh, it was very fast. Okay. It was very, whatever the environment was, and it wasn't really huge. But I remember that it wasn't dome-shaped and it wasn't round. But it wasn't huge, but yes, it was very, very quick. So that's still a goal I have, is to have a wood-burning, have one of your ovens. How do people get a hold of you?
We have an office. We have an 800 number. We have a website, munyaini.com.
Let's spell that for them.
It's M-U-G-N-A-I-N-I.
So it's mugnaini.com,
yes. And 888-887-7206.
Okay, say that one more time.
888-887-7206. We have a run Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. A full complement of staff in our office for sales and customer service.
And you have, the website is excellent. It's easy to navigate. You can get information about the Tuscan classes. I think I like your website a lot.
Well, thank you.
So I think it's a great way to get familiar and to visualize some, or to see some of the, what we're talking about.
There's a photo gallery that clients have provided over the years to show fully installed ovens, what they
That's
look
one
like
thing
actually
I loved. You
home.
Said when people show up for classes, they come with pictures.
Pictures of their ovens, yes.
Like their
Not
babies
their
or
children.
Their dogs. I thought that was really charming. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Mouthful. I know you have a long drive back to Watsonville, so I
My
really
pleasure.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank
you.
I look
it.
Forward to cooking for you next time.
Well, thank you
All
so
right.
much. And take care. Have a great week, and I will see you back here next Sunday night for another episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour.
Watch out, you might get what you want. Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.